So when we look at a major industrial economy, I mean a real engine of global trade, and we see it struggling, the big question is always the same. Is this just a temporary dip, a cyclical recession we can just sort of wait
Or
out?
is it something much, much deeper?
Exactly, something structural going all the way down to the foundation.
And that really is the question of the moment. Based on the material we've been looking at, especially Rob Van Linde's observations, the answer is, well, it's emphatically structural.
So that's what we're getting into today.
Yes. We're diving into what he calls the structural exhaustion of the German economy.
Okay. Because we spent so much time talking about these high-level challenges in isolation, geopolitics over here, AI over there, tensions with China.
And they often get treated like sidebars.
Yeah.
Interesting, sure, but not part of the real economy.
But that's the strategic mistake, isn't it? That's what Van Linde argues.
It is. These things, geopolitics, digital sovereignty, raw material dependency, they aren't abstract topics anymore. They are
Right.
the new economic reality.
And our mission for this deep dive is to show you exactly how the foundations of a major power are eroding because they haven't quite grasped that shift.
The sources are pretty blunt about it. They say Germany isn't in a normal cyclical downturn that's going to self-correct.
So what is it then?
It's a slow systemic decoupling from the new centers of industrial gravity. It's running on, well, structural exhaustion. The whole industrial operating system is failing to adapt.
To really get the scale of this, you have to understand what came before the success.
Absolutely. For decades, the entire German economic model was built on four incredibly stable, interconnected pillars. These weren't just assumptions, they were bedrock.
Okay, so let's break those down. What were the four non-negotiables that powered that whole system?
Think of it like a four-legged stool. It held up the entire industrial house.
Right.
First, you have cheap energy. Historically, that was reliable, affordable, often sourced from the East.
Okay, cheap energy. That's pillar one.
Pillar two, globalized supply chains, all optimized for just-in-time delivery, maximum efficiency.
A well-oiled machine.
A perfectly oiled machine. Third, technological leadership. Now, not necessarily in digital, but in core manufacturing, mechanical engineering, and specialty chemistry.
The things Germany was famous for.
Exactly. And fourth, secure, unfettered access to open world markets. You need somewhere to sell all those high-quality goods.
And that model worked for decades. It was the blueprint.
It was. But what's happening now, what makes this moment so unique, is that the pressure isn't just on one of those legs.
It's not just an energy crisis.
No, all four are buckling at the same time.
And that simultaneous failure is the key.
It's critical. If you
Yeah.
map the current global landscape, you see exactly where industrial power has shifted, and it hits every single one of those pillars.
Okay, so walk us through those pressure points.
Well, let's start with supply chains and raw materials. That hits pillars two and four.
Right.
China now dominates huge parts of critical raw material processing. Think about the inputs for batteries, for specialty alloys.
Things you need for any advanced manufacturing.
Absolutely. And they increasingly dictate industrial pricing power. A German factory can't optimize costs like it used to because a competitor literally controls the source.
At the same time, you look west to the US.
And the U.S. now completely dominates the digital value stack. We're talking cloud infrastructure, AI platforms, the highest-end chips.
Which puts pressure on that third pillar, the technology one.
It fundamentally undermines it. A German company might build the best physical machine in the world, but if that machine's brain runs on U.S. software and data infrastructure,
They've lost control of where the future value
they've
is.
lost control. And then there's the anchor point, the one that always comes up.
Energy.
Always energy. Costs in Europe are just structurally higher than in places like the U.S. or parts of Asia. Pillar one, cheap energy, it's functionally gone.
Leaving industries with a permanent cost disadvantage they never had before.
Right. And finally, that fourth pillar, open markets, global trade has. It's just changed. It's not about pure efficiency anymore.
It's about power politics, resilience.
Exactly. And the world isn't optimized for that old German export model anymore.
You know what's so fascinating is how the sources frame this. They say Germany optimized its entire structure for a world that, well, that no longer exists.
It's like building the world's most efficient dial-up modem, right, as everyone else switches to fiber optic.
And the debate inside Germany seems stuck on that old modem.
It does. It's very incremental. Let's add a few subsidies here, or
Yeah.
we need another regulatory task force.
And those are tools for stable systems. You use a task force to optimize something that's already working.
Right, but the sources are clear. Germany is no longer in a stable system. It's in a state of structural erosion. Incremental fixes are, well, they're just rearranging the deck chairs.
So let's make this more concrete. Let's move from the strategy to the factory floor. Where are we seeing the most immediate consequences?
The chemical industry.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. It's the bellwether. If you want to understand the severity of this, you watch what's happening in chemistry.
Why chemistry specifically? It's a huge sector, sure. But why is it more of a warning sign than, say, the auto industry?
Because chemistry is the invisible basis for almost all modern value chains.
Okay.
We're talking about the inputs for advanced materials, for batteries, for semiconductors, for pharmaceuticals,
wow,
even the knowledge base for things like hydrogen.
So if you lose chemistry,
you don't just lose a big company. You lose the foundational building blocks for everything that's supposed to come next.
And the sources draw a really sharp distinction here. This isn't just about relocating a factory for cost savings.
No, it's far more dangerous than that. The long-term threat is the relocation of future industrial control.
What does that mean exactly?
It means once that chemical production leaves at scale, say, because of high energy prices, the entire innovation ecosystem follows it.
The researchers, the universities,
the specialized engineers, the material science knowledge. All of it migrates.
Yeah.
You lose the ability to innovate in the next generation of industrial products because you've lost the starting point.
And this is all happening while the other crown jewels of the German economy are already in trouble.
Exactly. The auto sector has already lost its strategic leadership in electric mobility, mostly to China. Mechanical engineering is under intense global pressure. Chemistry is. It's sort of the final piece that shows how systemic this decay really is.
So how did this happen? If they were so successful for so long, what explains this strategic failure? The analysis points to a contrast in investment philosophies.
It's a fascinating contrast. It's the difference between investing in the process versus investing in the control point.
Okay.
Germany was focused internally. They invested in cost optimization and regulatory comfort and maintaining their export model. They perfected the process.
While their competitors were playing a totally different game.
A completely different game.
Yeah.
China focused on control points. They invested in raw materials and processing capacity in industrial policy to dominate the physical supply chain.
And the U.S.
The U.S. also focused on control points, but in the digital world.
Mm.
Capital markets, cloud infrastructure, AI ecosystems, chip technology.
So one side was fine-tuning the operating manual for the old machine,
while the other two were busy owning all the core components of the new one.
What's really insightful is how this is all discussed socially within Germany. It's often framed as a mood problem.
Right, a lack of confidence, too much pessimism, too much regulation, as if the problem is psychological.
But you can't build an economy on good vibes.
You absolutely cannot. Confidence doesn't substitute for strategic assets. A positive mood won't magically create cheaper energy or a world-class AI platform.
The problem isn't emotional.
No, it's intensely material and strategic.
Which brings us to the geopolitical dimension of this, and to a pretty uncomfortable truth that the sources force us to look at.
The Trump warning.
Right.
The source material states very matter-of-factly that while you can object to his style and values, Donald Trump was strategically right about one core issue.
And that issue was Germany's position in the world.
It was about Europe broadly, but Germany in particular. The diagnosis was that they were systematically outsourcing their own security, their industrial resilience, their tech autonomy.
The message being, you can't free ride forever.
That was the message, however inelegantly it was delivered.
Yeah.
You can't rely on American security and a politically neutral global trade system to last forever.
And Germany's response at the time was to dismiss it.
To treat it as political noise. The analysis says they ignored the message because they disliked the messenger.
And instead of confronting that dependency, they doubled down.
They did. They doubled down on three core assumptions that the sources now call officially dead.
Which are?
First, that the U.S. would always guarantee their security. Second, that China would remain a benign, low-cost production partner. And third, that global trade would stay politically neutral.
And the sources have a great line for this. They say Germany mistook moral distance for strategic independence.
They felt superior, but they were actually deeply reliant. And that comfort is now shattering. This isn't just talk anymore. It's being institutionalized.
With things like the Inflation Reduction Act, the CHIPS Act in the U.S.
Exactly. The U.S. is now restructuring its economy around national security logic.
Mm-hmm.
Chips, AI, energy supply chains, they're all being treated as strategic assets, not just market commodities.
And Germany is left reacting years behind under huge pressure.
It really underscores a core lesson of statecraft, doesn't it?
That you have to build strategic autonomy before the crisis hits.
You can't improvise it when the pressure is already at its peak.
And that delay has been incredibly expensive.
Massively. The cost of that avoidance is now on the balance sheet. You see it in higher energy prices, new defense budgets, industrial relocations, and just less room to maneuver geopolitically.
The sources bring this home with a really symbolic moment, a quote from Chancellor Merz.
Yes, where he was warning the U.S. against isolationism.
What were his exact words?
He said, "America first is fine, but America alone cannot be in your interest." And then he continued, "You also need partners in the world. And if you can't do anything with Europe, then at least make Germany your partner."
Okay, so if you strip away the diplomatic language, what does that quote really mean?
The source material sees it not as a confident partner speaking from a position of strength,
but as something else entirely.
As a supplicant, a nation asking not to be left out. It starkly reveals the shift from being a dominant economic peer to a country that now has to plead for relevance.
It's a moment of profound vulnerability.
It is. That structural exhaustion is leading to a plea for inclusion, not a bold claim of independence.
Which brings us to the final diagnosis.
The Germany isn't collapsing, no, but it is running on structural exhaustion. And the solution can't be more administrative tweaks or feel-good policies.
It needs what the sources call a strategic rupture.
A radical break from the assumptions of the last 40 years. Because, as they conclude, you can't rebuild an industrial economy with PowerPoint slides.
So wrapping this up, what does this analysis mean for you, the listener, even if you're outside of Germany?
I think the primary insight is that the challenges facing major industrial powers today are defined by these systemic shifts in control points.
It's not about temporary market cycles anymore. It's about who owns the AI platforms, who controls the digital infrastructure, who processes the critical raw materials.
And the adaptation has to be just as radical. You can't just make minor adjustments to a system that was built for a different world. You have to recognize that geopolitical dependency is now this central economic reality.
We focused a lot on chemistry and autos because they were so reliant on those four crumbling pillars. But the real challenge now is looking forward.
Right. If the problem is systemic decoupling, you have to ask, what other industries are next? Maybe those reliant on rare earth metals or high-end software or complex biotech supply chains.
And maybe the even bigger question is, where is the next critical control point being established right now?
Exactly. While policymakers are debating today's problems, where are China and the U.S. investing today? In fusion, in quantum computing, in biomanufacturing? That will define the industrial world 5 years from now.
Because understanding that quiet strategic investment, that's how you avoid structural exhaustion in the first place.